So Lent is often considered a serious season in the Christian church year. It's 6 weeks preparing ourselves for the celebration of Easter, which is only 3 weeks away now. During Lent, during this Lent especially, our focus has been on Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and some of the people, some of the biblical characters that have encountered him. As we allow ourselves to kind of imagine our way into these stories, my hope is that we will find in these stories our own lives revealed. Now, today's story is no exception. It's the story of Jesus healing a man born blind. And by the end of the story, the blind can see, and those who see are blind, and all the talk about eyesight turns into a discussion about insight. Jesus and his disciples, they're on their way to Jerusalem. Well, they're actually in Jerusalem here as the story begins. They're walking by the temple, and they see this beggar, a man that's been blind since birth. And the disciples ask a theological question. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he has been born blind? Now, this question is based on the ancient view that a disability represented a punishment from God, and that it's deeply rooted in the very human kind of wish to believe that people get what they deserve. It's a tidy little way that we humans have of separating ourselves from those who suffer. We call it blame the victim. It's been quite popular ever since the dawn of creation. Now, Jesus sees this man's circumstances as an opportunity to show his followers something about what God is like: compassionate, healing, loving. God is not into the way we're thinking of when it comes to separating ourselves like this. If sin were the cause of blindness, we would all be blind. Jesus heals the man right on the spot. He takes some spit and dirt, makes mud, anoints the man's eyes with this muck. And then he sends the man off to the pool of Siloam to wash. And the man returns seeing. End of story. Well, no, it's just beginning. What matters most is what it all means. Now, some of the onlookers begin to discuss what they've just seen. They wonder about what exactly they were watching. Well, wasn't this the guy who begged every day as long as anyone can remember, ever since he was born? Some said yes, while others said, oh, it's just someone that looks like him. I mean, if you've seen one beggar, you've seen them all. Who really looks that closely at such people anyway? The newly healed man says, I am the man. They ask him, well, how did this miracle happen? And the man's not entirely clear. Some guy named Jesus and some mud were involved. The religious authorities, they enter the scene. Their job is to validate miraculous experiences and to tell people what it is that they have honestly and exactly just seen or not seen. And let the record show that these religious people come off very badly. They did their investigation by interrogating the man who claims to have been healed. How did this happen? And the man says, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Since all of this is happening on the Sabbath, the religious leaders immediately decide, well, this healer is not from God because he does work on the Sabbath. They give the newly sighted man a chance to say what he thinks about Jesus, and the man says, well, I think he's a prophet. The authorities don't like the answer. They decide to keep on interviewing folks until they hear what they want to hear. They bring in the man's parents, and the parents quickly sense that this is not an investigation, but it's an inquisition. And they say, we know that he's our son, that he was born blind, but we don't know exactly how it is that he's able to see, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He can speak for himself. The religious leaders are now getting irritated. And so they turn back to the man, and they give him a big clue about what he is supposed to say. Give the glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. The man replies, I don't know whether this Jesus is a sinner. One thing I do know is that I was blind, but now I see. What a simple, sincere testimony. It's amazing grace. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, but the religious authorities, they just won't see. They ask again and again, and the healed man gets a bit sarcastic and says, I've told you already, and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples? And the man who's been healed becomes more and more bold, and the leaders become more and more frustrated and angry, and eventually they throw this man out of the temple. Now, outside the temple, the man encounters Jesus. Do you believe in the Son of Man? The man who just must be sick to death and tired of answering questions replies, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus says, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. And the man falls to his knees and exclaims, Lord, I believe. He is moved from blindness to eyesight, to insight. But we're not finished yet with the religious leaders. Jesus says in their hearing, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. The authorities challenge him. Surely we're not blind, are we? And Jesus says, if you were blind, you would not have sinned. Your problem is not that you can't see. It's because you won't see. From insight to eyesight to blindness. So how in the world does this story speak to us sitting here today? Why is this important for us? I can think of two ways. First of all, it does challenge us to really, really see Jesus. And secondly, it also challenges us to take a good, long look at ourselves. We're challenged to see Jesus. I mean, really, really see him, to take a good look. Now, sometimes for me, it feels like we Christians, we get so caught up in Jesus' passion, in his suffering and death on a cross, that we lose sight of Jesus' passion as truly being his life. Not his death, but his life. Can we see what he did? Can we see what Jesus truly cared about? Can we see with whom Jesus spent his time, gave his attention? Can we see who Jesus reached out to? When we say that Jesus is the light of the world, what does that light reveal to us? That's the question. I believe it reveals to us a God of compassion, as Jesus was compassionate. Jesus spends his time healing people in great need, preaching good news to the poor, reaching out to those who are rejected from society, including, in this instance, disabled one who was assumed to be a sinner. If our lesson here really is a challenge to see Jesus, to really see him, then I believe it's also a challenge for us to care about the things Jesus cared about and embodied, like justice, mercy, kindness. We can say in one word what Jesus reveals about God: love. And this is not love in that sense of a warm, fuzzy feeling that we have for our family and our friends, but love in a sense of a deliberate seeking of the well-being of others, even at the expense of self. Jesus' determination to love the unlovely gets him into trouble, but he goes there anyway. In Jesus, God so loved the world. In Jesus Christ, God calls us to love as well. So how are we doing, church? This story challenges us to take a good long look at ourselves. Like the religious leaders in the story, most of us, most of the time, function, I think, as conclusions who are in search of documenting or proving evidence that will support our thoughts and opinions rather than as people with open hearts, open minds, in search of new insights. We like to think that we're open to possibilities of how God might be moving in our lives, but more typically we look for things that agree with our own desires. The gospel message here is that God often comes as a surprise, not as one more thing to fit neatly into our already busy lives, but as the one to whom we surrender ourselves. God comes to overwhelm us. To overwhelm us with wonder and to open us to see as we've never seen before. Of course, we're tempted to cling on to what we're comfortable with because we're well accommodated to our own individual forms of blindness. I don't know about you, but I've learned and I've experienced through the years of my own personal walk with Christ that God's newness often comes to us at a point when we're most vulnerable, at a place in our life where we know that we need healing, like that place where we carry around our old hurts and grudges and stuff we cling to. God in Christ comes to offer new life which is often disruptive before it's wonderful. I know I've shared with you one of my favorite quotes: "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you flinch, and then it will set you free." That's so true of what happens when one meets Jesus, sees Jesus, surrenders one life to Jesus, and receives the gift of new life to walk with Christ, who is the light of the world, to move from darkness to light, from blindness to eyesight, to insight. Who knows? Who knows, this year, just maybe this year during Lent, you're going to meet God in some unexpected places. You may even find yourself living more deeply into one or more of these precious biblical stories, meeting biblical characters who remind you of yourself and of all of us. And as they received grace upon grace and started to believe and grow in their faith, so we might also. May it be so for us to live anew in a new life that Christ offers and shares with us, walking with Christ all of the way from baptismal font to communion table, from womb to tomb to beyond. Now, next week, we're going to look at the story of Jesus encountering and raising Lazarus. And as a popular advertising sign said, if you think it's hard getting up on Sunday morning, try rising from the dead. God bless us all.